We're holding Coffee on the Bays by the Mishnah, the last line. The Mishnah says, "B'chor shenofal labur." If an animal, a b'chor, falls into a pit. Now, as long as the b'chor is a tam, then you're not allowed to shecht it outside the Beis Hamikdash. In fact, Rashi says a person does is chayiv kares. You have to wait till it develops a mum, and only then you can shecht it. So when it develops a mum, then it's like any other animal, then you'd be able to shecht it. But here the problem is that it fell into a pit, and you're afraid it's going to die there. So you want to have somebody check whether it has a mum. So Rashi explains that we have to be talking about, we can't be talking about, for as we're going to go through the Mishnah and the Gemara, we'll see that it can't be that we're talking about that before it fell and didn't have a mum at all, then for sure it would be mukta and there's nothing to talk about. What we mean is, rather, Rashi learned that there was a mum in it, but you didn't have a chance to show it to a chacham before Yom Tov to find out whether it's mutter or not. Now, on Yom Tov, it fell into a pit, so now you want the chacham to check the mum that it had from before and find out whether it's a mum kavur. That's according to Rashi. And then the Gemara, and then we're going to have different opinions whether you're allowed to or not, depending on that. Tosfos disagrees with that on a couple of grounds, and they say that actually they agree on the basic idea that we are talking about it had a mum before, but they disagree with Rashi about what exactly the Machloka says about what to do with the animal. Rashi, by the way, also mentions the point that this is talking about b'chor b'zman hazeh, when there's no Beis Hamikdash to bring it as a korban. Actually, the Shita Mukubetzis points out really that there's no difference. I mean, the same din would apply when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, because the same thing. You can't. The only thing you can do with a b'chor tam is bring it as a korban. And if you're nowhere near Yerushalayim, you're not going to be able to bring it as a korban on Yom Tov anyway. But he says that maybe, in fact, Rashi says that if it's Zman Hazeh, in order to stress the point, you shouldn't think that maybe this din applies only when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. No, it applies equally well now. Anyway, so this Bechor fell into a pit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered Mumcha V'yira. So Rabbi Yehuda says you send down a Mumcha. A Mumcha can go down, somebody who's expert at checking Mumim and can determine whether this is a Mum Kavua. V'yira, and let him check it out. Im yesh by mum, if the animal has a mum, meaning a mum kavua, yala v'yishchot, then you can bring it up and shecht it. V'im lav lo yishchot, if not, then you can't shecht it. Reb Shimon, now we're going to see in the Gemara, I mean, so of course you can't shecht it, it's still tam. Reb Shimon, a kol she'en mumin nikum v'od yom, on the other hand, Reb Shimon says, if you didn't recognize the mum beforehand, you didn't see before Yom Tov that it's in the morning, that it's a mum kavua, ein zamin amuchan, then it's not something prepared, then in other words, so you can't use it on Yom Tov. So Rashi learns like this. Again, Rashi learns that this animal had a mum before Yom Tov. You just didn't have a chacham, you didn't have a chance to have a chacham check it out. So now it fell into this pit on Yom Tov. So let the chacham go and check, says Rabbi Huda, whether the mum that it had before Yom Tov is in fact a mum kavua or not. If so, then you can bring up the animal. Now, and Rashi adds then that according to Rabbi Huda, there would be no problem of mukta in it, because since it had a mum from before, he already had it in mind that he might be able to shecht it. Now, how would he if it's only a mum over? There's a few different explanations on it. One of them is because a mum over very commonly will become a mum kavua, so he had a reasonable expectation that that should happen. Another possibility is he not being a mumcha, the owner, he taka doesn't know the difference between a mum kavua and a mum over, so he might well think that this was a mum kavua and figure on that basis that he's going to be able to shecht it on Yom Tov. So therefore, he has that in mind before Yom Tov. There is also an explanation that Tzlach gives that once the chacham determined that it is a mum kavua and you're allowed to shecht it, so the same he says the same we had a case in the first parak of the Masechta, where you have an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. As we know, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. And we also had a case over there where the egg has a chick inside it, where you can't yet eat it on Yom Tov, because as long as it's in the shell, as long as it's inside the shell anyway, it's still considered sheretz ha'oif. But we said if it actually hatched out of the egg on Yom Tov, then once we had an opinion of Shmuel over there That the fact that it's already mutter, the fact that now the issur of it being inside the shell went away, therefore the issur of muktzan it also goes away, and you'd be able to shecht it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda might be going over here according to the same svara that once the issur of shechting it bachutz, because it's not a bachur, because now it's a bachur balmum. Once that issur goes away, then so does the issur of muktzan. Anyway, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then continues Rashi, according to Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand. This is on Yom Tov. We're talking about Yom Tov. So the case was that a Bechor fell into a pit, and you know, you need to find out whether it has a mum or not in order to be able to shecht it.
But don't you have to find that out even if it's not Yom Tov?
Well, right. But the point is, if it was on a weekday, there'd be no problem. Haul it out of the pit, have a mum, take a look, and that's that. Right. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that Rabbi Shimon says that it's ein zem min hamuchan, meaning Rashi says it's not a matter of mukta because Rabbi Shimon doesn't really hold of the broad category of mukta as we talked about before. Rather, what it is that you're being matir it on Yom Tov, so it looks like you're fixing it. And also, Rashi says, actually, in all Gersoros of Rashi, Rashi just continues saying, the Havalei Kedon Din, it's like judging a Din Torah, but actually the Maharam explains that those are actually two separate explanations. In Rashi, one is because it looks like he's Misakin, and the other one is because it looks like he's judging a Din Torah. So therefore, in other words, Ein Zemin HaMuchan, meaning, in other words, his Heter, the fact that he says this is a Mum Kavua, says Reb Shimon is not good enough to be able to be matirit, to be eaten on Yom Tov. So again, Tosfos discusses this a little bit. So that's the thing. So part of the question is that Rav Shimon usually is meiko on dinim mukta. That is why Rashi is saying that ein zemin hamuchan does not mean it's mukta, because if that was the case, Rav Shimon wouldn't have a problem with it. Rather, it's Rav Shimon is saying, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to look at mumim on Yom Tov, either because, again, when the Chacham paskins that it's mutter, then it amounts to being misaken it before it wasn't usable and now it is, or because it's like done din. The Trumas Hadeshin, by the way, points out, now on the face of it, anytime you have a Shaila, don't you have the same question? Does that mean you're not allowed to ask a Shaila to a Rav on Yom Tov? Let's say you had milk fell into a fleshic pot or whatever, and you're going to go to a rav to ask what the din is of bottle b'shishim or whatever. You're going to say you're going to have that problem, and he says no. In fact, the Gemara itself later on, Daf Chav Zayin, talks about a distinction between something where you're doing basically gilui milsa ba'alma versus something where your psak actually makes it. That actually changes its status. Until the Chacham says that the Bechor has a mum, it still has the status of a Bechor that you're not allowed to shecht outside the Bais Mikdash. Once he says that, then it changes its status, as opposed to, let's say, you have a Shaila in Basa B'cholov or whatever, the Rav is really just revealing what was there all along, that it was mutter, that it is also.
Right, maybe you could have known that.
Maybe
you could never know because you have
because you yourself have to be a mumcha, right? In fact, there is in that connection, by the way, there is in that connection. So now again, Rashi is bringing two reasons over here why you're not allowed to on Yom Tov. One is because of the sakin, and the other is because of dun din. So now there's a Magid Mishnah on the Rambam that discusses this issue and talks about the idea that to do that or any other shaila that would involve a rov might be an issue. The primary issue would be misakin, and therefore you have to get into the question: what happens if in fact it's the kind of thing where if the rov passed and it's also then it's going to be mukta. And based on that, the Taz goes into a long arichus about this whole question of things that you're allowed and not allowed to ask the Rav on Yom Tov, where the situation is. Let's say it's a matter of Basa B'cholav, since it's also Bahana, then it would be also, let's say, if it was a matter of Trefus, let's say it's not also Bahana, you could still feed it to an animal, so therefore it's not necessarily Mukta. But if it was Basa B'cholav, let's say, then it would be. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe brings in a Kuntar Sachrin. He says, briefly, I'm not even bothering to bring that whole thing that the Taz discusses, because that's only according to the Magen Avraham. That's only according to the Magen Mishnah's Shitta about this matter of showing a Bechor to a Chacham. Whereas according to Rashi over here that we're mentioning about that it's like Dun Din, then therefore it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about something that is good, that could end up being Muktzah or not. either way, again, like it's similar to what the Truma Sadeshin says, when it's a matter of Yuli Milsaba Alma, then we don't care whether it's something that might end up being Mokzer or not. Anyway, getting back to,
So what the Alter Rebbe is saying
is that... normally you're allowed to ask a Shaila to a Rav
anytime,
even on Yom Tov, unless it's like, right. Right.
And the only thing that's like Dundin
is a Bechor.
Moom on a Bechor.
That's what
or
it's
maybe,
saying.
Or maybe taking someone in the base then actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Tosfos disagrees with a number of points of Rashi's explanation. And they say that no, when Rav Shimon says Ein Zeman HaMuchan, he does mean he is talking about the concept of Muchan. What he means is, in other words, so again, the machloikas, there's a double machloikas. Number one, as the Gemara is going to say, all is a Chacham allowed to look at a Muman Yantav? And also, they are arguing about the matter of Mukta. It's true that usually Rav Shimon is makel compared to Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, he figures like this. Rav Yehuda takes the view, since Roy and Mumin B'yamtiv, and you know therefore from yesterday that it had a Mum Kavua, or at least you had a reasonable supposition that it was going to end up being determined to be a Mum Kavua, so you already had your das on it from yesterday. Rav Shimon holds Ein Roy and Mumin, so therefore even B'diyevet, if the Chacham checked it, nevertheless it still remains Mukta. Because as the Gemara is going to say, there are cases where Rav Shimon does agree on the concept of Mukta. And this would be one of those cases, Tosfos says. Okay.
No, I totally missed what you said.
Okay, so again, so Rav Yehuda, according to Tosfos, so according to Rashi, it's not even a matter of Mukta at all. Rav Yehuda holds that you had your das on it from yesterday. Rav Shimon holds, since you're not allowed to look at it on Yom Tov, then it doesn't matter. Even if he did, it still remains also on that ground. Nothing to do with Mukta. Tosfos says there is an issue of mukta involved. There is also an issue of whether you're allowed to see Mumin on Yom Tov. Rav Yehuda holds you're allowed to, therefore your das is on it. On the other hand, Rav Shimon says you're not allowed to see Mumin, therefore your das was not on it, and therefore even B'diyevet, if he went and checked it, nevertheless it's going to remain also because of the fact that it was mukta at the beginning of Yom Tov, because you didn't have your das on it,
right.
Knowing, according to Rav Shimon, that the Chacham is not going to be allowed to check it on Yom Tov.
Shimon is Mako and Mukta, but he holds that this is Mukta.
But he holds that this is one of those cases, exactly. Right. So the Gemara says, but my committee, what is the underlying machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? E name a Beroyan Mumin committee, if you're going to say just that their machloikus is whether a Chacham is allowed to see Mumin on Yom Tov. Did Rabbi Yehuda sava Royan Mumin be Yom Tov, but Rabbi Shimon sava in Royan Mumin be Yom Tov? If that's the whole machlokas, then in that case, why do we need the case where a bechor fell into a pit? Just say straight out, a bechor, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to check it for a mumon yom tov, and Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to. Why have the scenario where it fell into a pit? The answer is bechor shenafal aburit tzrichalei. The answer is there is a chidush in saying that it fell into a pit. You would think it's a matter of tzar ba'alachayim, four animals suffering in there. Maybe you should be able to do a harama and take it out, like what Rabbi Yeshua says. So Rabbi Yeshua tells us in the last parak of our Masechta, you have a case. What happens if oseves b'noi fell into a pit? A mother animal and a baby animal both fall into a pit. And we know, on Yom Tov, oseves b'noi lo yishchatu b'yemechad. So what do? So you're not going to be able to take them both out in order to shecht them, because one of them you're going to be able to shecht, but the other one not. But Rabbi Yeshua says, what you can do is you can do a harama. You take out the first one, and you're saying, I have in mind to shecht it. So fine, you're allowed to take it out for the purpose of shechting it. Then once it's out, you say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to shecht this one. I'd rather shecht the other one. And then you pull out the other one also, and then you shecht whichever one you want. So you would think maybe over here you could do a harama as well, saying, in other words, there's an excellent chance that it has a mum kavua, and therefore I should be able to take it out, and I plan to shecht it. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah wants us to know that, no, you can't do that. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying really that the mumcha can go down into the pit, but you can't bring it out before the mum. You can't bring it out and have the mumcha check it on the ground. So in other words, Rabbeinu Hananel says that the Mishnah could have just said lo yala rather than lo yishchot. But like this, the Mishnah is telling us two things in one, kind of. Telling us that it's telling us you shouldn't bring it out. Don't use the haroma like Rabbi Yeshua said. And also, even if you brought it out, you're not allowed to shecht it. Because it doesn't have a mum kavua, or because before Yom Tov it wasn't known to have a mum kavua. So the question is, yichochi lo yishchot, then why is the Mishnah using the expression he shouldn't shecht it? Lo yala b'yishchot mitboyle, it should say you shouldn't bring it out and shecht it, because that's the main point of it here, don't bring it out. The answer is, lo yitzricha d'ova v'aske. You're right, the point of the Mishnah is, even if he was over and took it out. So in other words, when the Mishnah says yered v'yira, that the mumcha should go down there and see, that itself implies that you shouldn't take it out l'chatchila. Then it's saying that even b'di'evit, he took it out and found a mum, lo yishchot, then he's not so the ov of aske. You would think at that point, once you already took it out, b'di'evit, maybe you should be allowed to shecht it. Kamash Mulan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us by lo yishchot, even in that case, you shouldn't shecht it. What do you mean? In that case, if you bring it out and you don't find that it has a mum, you'd be able to shecht. You would think you could shecht it, and the Mishnah has to tell you not. Of course, you can't shecht it. Hatamhu. If you find that the animal is a tam, then you're not allowed to shecht it outside the Beis Mikdash. The answer is loitzricha denafel be mumah. The answer is the case is that now there's a mum in it. So in other words, when we say im yesh be mum, means if the chacham found going down into the pit that the mum that it had before Yom Tov was already a mum kavua. But now, if he finds that only what developed now is a mum kavua, right, then lo yishchot, then you're not allowed to. So the question is, well, of course, v'ha muktzahu, of course it's mukta. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds of the broader concept of mukta, and he's the one who's makel in our Mishnah, so surely he's not going to say that if a mum developed on Yom Tov, you should be allowed to shecht. So we're still back to, why does the Mishnah need to tell us v'im lav lo yishchot, when it's obvious, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if now we're saying that the im yesh be mum yala v'yishchot, v'im lav lo yishchot, im lav, im yesh be mum means if it had a mum before Yom Tov, and im lav means if it did not have a mum before Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda, we don't need the Mishnah to be telling us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be allowed to shecht it in that case. Rather, the situation is it had a temporary mum before Yom Tov, v'hashta havale mum kavua. Now, on Yom Tov, it's a mum kavua. So it could be if the same mum developed further and now became a mum kavua. You even have, for example, there is a certain case that it describes in Bechoris involving certain eye diseases that the animal may have, where it takes 80 days to establish that it's a mum kavua. So imagine, for example, that the 80th day comes out on Yom Tov itself. So now, on Erev Yom Tov, it wasn't yet a mum kavua because it was only the 79th day. Now comes the 80th day. So now, Ma'ud Atame the Daita Ilave, you would think then that maybe he had his das on it, v'nishchate, therefore you should be able to shecht it, kamash mulan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, if it wasn't kavua before Yom Tov, then the fact is it is mukta. So Rashi actually gives two reasons why it should be also to shecht it. One is because it was mukta machmas isser, because before Yom Tov it was still osser. And the other reason is because you were over and took it out of the pit when you weren't supposed to. So that's that. So that's what the Mishnah means then, in short. So we mean that if it had a mum kavua before Yom Tov, then you would be allowed to take it out and shecht it. If it didn't have a mum at all, then of course you're not allowed to. There's no chiddush. Even if it had a mum over, and if the mumcha then goes down into the pit, discovers that what it had before Yom Tov is in fact a mum kavua, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to take it out and shecht it, otherwise not. And Rabbi Shimon says, even in that case, not. Again, according to Rashi, because the mumcha is not supposed to be checking it on Yom Tov, according to Tosfos, that plus the fact that he's not supposed to be checking on Yom Tov itself renders it mukta, even if he was over and did check it. Okay. The Gemara says, Tonan Abanan, Bechor Tam Shenofel Labur. Suppose that a Bechor Tam falls into a bur. Now, Rashi had explained that the Bechor of our Mishnah already had a mum that just it was a just a, we weren't sure whether it was a mum, we weren't sure whether it was a mum kavua or mum oiver. And now we're talking about a tam. So Rashi actually has a long discussion over here that there are two possible girsois over here. One is that we are talking about Bechor Tam, which is the girsa that we have in front of us. And the other one Rashi says is maybe the girsa, maybe the correct girsa in the Braisa is without the word tam, and therefore it's exactly the case of, on Mishnah. So let's learn it the two ways then. So first, Bechor Tam Shenafel Abur. So now, if it fell into the pit as a tam. So now, the point is, though, that Rashi explains, according to this girsa, both Tanoim in this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon Menasya, are going to hold that he does have a das on it before Yontav, that he expects it at some point to develop a mum. That's why the Mishnah calls him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, rather in order to distinguish him from Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, right? So Rashi's first explanation, according to the Girsa, Bechor Tam Shenafel Labur, is even, now unlike in our Mishnah, where both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are taking the view that it, at least it needs to have had a mum before Yom Tov to even talk about, the possibility of it not being Mukta, and Rabbi Yehuda says if it had some kind of mum, then you can send down the Chacham to check, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that you can't. But that's talking about where it already had some kind of mum. Here we'd be talking about it doesn't even. It's completely tam. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon Menasi and our Braisa are going to be saying that it's not mukta because he had in mind before Yom Tov that it might develop a mum. Rashi's second explanation again is that we take out the word tam from the Braisa, and therefore it's the same scenario as our Mishnah. So therefore, in other words, it comes out according to that, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would be holding exactly like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and then Rabbi Shimon Menasi would be saying something similar to what Rabbi Shimon is saying. So Bechor Tam Shenafel Labur, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, Yerid Mumcha V'Yira. Let the Mumcha go down and see. Im Yesh Be Mum, if the animal has a Mum, Yala V'Yishchot, then you can bring up the animal and shecht it. V'im Lav Lo Yishchot, and if not, then you can't shecht it. So again, if we say that it was Bechor Tam, then it means that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying that even though it didn't have even though it was Tam before Yom Tov began, nevertheless, he doesn't hold of Mukta. So therefore, I feel enough by a Yom, even if the Mum developed today, he'd be allowed to shecht it. But if not, if he brought it up without a Mum, then he shouldn't shecht it, even if after he brought it up, it developed a Mum, then he still is not allowed to shecht it. And Rashi gives, again, a couple of explanations on that. One is we cancel him at that point because he brought it up when he wasn't supposed to, because the mumcha said it doesn't have a mum. Also, Rashi says that it means, when you say lo yishchot, obviously you can't shecht it at the tam. It means, in other words, you're not allowed to do a harama, like we said before. Yeah, but maybe it has a mum, and therefore, let me bring it up. You can't do that. So Rashi explains. Now, why didn't we answer the Mishnah that way? Why don't we give a similar explanation on the Mishnah? The reason is because on Mishnah necessarily cannot be talking about a tam, because then you'd have to explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita. How could Rabbi Yehuda say im yesh be mum yala b'yishchot if before Yom Tov it had no mum, and Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of mukta? In the Braisa, rather, we can say that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi doesn't hold of that concept of mukta. He holds more like Rabbi Shimon, therefore he would allow you to take it out even if it's tam. Again, that's the first explanation in Rashi. The second explanation is that the scenario in the Braisa is exactly the same as the Mishnah. It had a mum. We didn't know whether it's a mum kavua or not. So now if we discover a mum that we know didn't take place on Yom Tov, then Yalav Yishchot. And if not, if it looks like a mum that developed only today, then we would say that you're not allowed to shecht it. And now the point is, so now before when we said that on the Mishnah, we said, isn't that poshut? And we explain why it's not so kosher, because you would have thought Tzah Ba'al HaChaim or whatever. here in this braisa, if you take out the word tam, that's not necessary, because without this braisa, we wouldn't know what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi himself holds as far as mukta. Now, if we understand it that way, then we understand that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda. There is a broader concept of mukta. Anyway, that's Rebbe. Amar lo Rav Shimon ben Menasya, but Rav Shimon ben Menasya says to Rebbe, Hare Omru Ein Royin Mumin B'Yamdiv. What do you mean you can have the Chacham check it on Yamdiv? They said, the Chachamim of generations of the generations before us said that you're not allowed to check up for a Mum on Yamdiv. Namely, specifically, Rashi says we're talking about Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon being Rav Shimon ben Yechoy, not Rav Shimon ben Menasya over here. Rebbe himself was a Talmud of Rav Shimon ben Yechoy. So how can you, Rebbe, how can you, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, say that we can send down a mumcha to check when, according to your own Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to? Ketzad. So therefore, so what's this? Rebbe was a Talmud, among others, by Rabbi Shimon. Rashi refers to a Gemara over here, the Gemara in Shabbos and in Erevin, where Rebbe mentions things that happened while he was a Talmud by Rabbi Shimon. He wasn't only, he was a Talmud of many of the, one of the reasons why Rebbe was particularly the one to compose the Mishnah is because, unlike many of the other Chachamim of his generation, he had learned by as many as possible of the Chachamim of the previous generation. By Rabbi Shimon, we see over here, we find he learned by Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. We find he learned a little bit by Rabbi Meir, and he says, I only saw Rabbi Meir from the back, and if I'd seen him from the front, I would have been even wiser. But there you find that he learned.
I only saw Meir from the back. Where is
that? I don't remember where it is, but I think in Erevin. But yeah. Anyway, so there's a number of different chachamim that we find that Rebbe learned from, and that way he was able to learn all the different methods of learning and all the different styles and whatever, and then he used all that when he composed the Mishnah. Anyway, so continues Rav Shimon ben Menasya, Ketzad. So what do we do? We can't just say, like you're saying, Rebbe, that we have the mumcha check it on Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to do that. Rather, noled by mum me'erev Yom Tov, ein mevaker noisib Yom Tov. If the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov, So even though the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to check it on Yom Tov. But b'diavad, if you did, then Rashi adds, then you would be allowed to shecht it. Because after all, Bein HaShemashas, it was almost Masukah. And really, all it was missing was the Chacham looking at it. So therefore, that's not reason enough to answer it. Noted by mum b'Yom Tov, on the other hand, if the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Rav Shimon Omer, Ein Zemen HaMuchan, then Rav Shimon says it's not Muchan at all. And therefore, even if you were over, and even if the Chacham was over and checked it, then he shouldn't check it, because that really is Masakin altogether. So not like you're saying, Rebbe, that you can just bring it, that you can have the Mumcha check whether it's a Mumkabu or not. You shouldn't bring it out either way, but the other, if the Mum developed Erev Yom Tov, then fine, if you brought it out and checked it, then fine, but the other, okay. The Shavin, now, Rav Shimon Manasseh continues, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, the Chacham of the generation before us, do both agree, She'im nolad hu umuma imay, that if the animal was born with a mum already, shezem and a muchan, that is considered muchan, because then it didn't have a cheskas iser to begin with. So there's two ways of understanding this braisa, depending on two different yosois. Is Rav Yehuda HaNasi saying that even if it was tam before it fell in, you'd be allowed, according to Rav Yehuda, to check it? And Rav Shimon Manasseh is telling him that no, or because he doesn't hold of the concept of mukta. Or is it that we're talking about a bechor that already had a mum over, and then the machlokes, this is essentially the same as in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? Okay. The Gemara continues, Darash Rava Baravuna, Nolad Hu Mumay Imay. If an animal was born with a mum already, mevakrin oisib yom tov lahatchila, then you're allowed to check it on yom tov even lahatchila. So it was born with a mum on yom tov, we may be talking about it was born before yom tov, but in other words, it was born with a mum. You didn't have a chance for the chacham to check it before yom tov, so you're allowed to even have the chacham check it lahatchila. Amalei Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, how could that be? Abba Tony, my father. The Pashtus, this would be according to. No, the Pashtus, this would be according to. The Pashtus, this would be according to. The Pashtus, this would be according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Shimon, we said, Ein Royin Mumin B'Yamtiv, period. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's saying over here that, well, no, because here we're talking about Nolan Mumma Imai. I don't know, it's not clear which one he's talking according to. Anyway, Omelet of Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Abba Toni, my father taught a brisa im over ubikre mavuka. If the dievet, if you were over and checked it for a mum, and it turned out to be a mum kavua, then it's considered checked, and you're allowed to check it. You, Rav Barabuna, are saying you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. My father's brisa says that you're only allowed to do it b'dieved. By the way, who was his father? So you have a couple of places in Shas where Rashi explains that Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Talmud of Rava. So according to that, his father would have been named Rav Yitzchak. So in that case, we don't really know. We don't really know.
Later
Rav Nachman.
He became the Rosh Yeshiva.
He became the Rosh Hashiva. He became one of the Rosh Hashiva after Rava passed away. Yeah. But anyway, so
Right after Rava.
Yeah, you had anyway, so that's according to Rashi. So according to that, his father was named Yitzchak.
Remember, Nachman by Yitzchak. Yitzchak comes before Yaakov. Nachman by Yaakov comes first, even though it's switched.
Anyway, so according to Rashi, then in those places, the father that we're talking about would be Rav Yitzchak. We don't really know a lot about him, but we see over here he taught Brises. If we're talking about, on the other hand, Tosfos in those places says that no, Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So according to that, he was from the previous generation. He was one of the Rabbeim of Rava, so two generations earlier than the other Rav Nachman. In that case, his father, so Rav Nachman, says on himself actually that my father was one of the Sofrei HaDayanim. He mentions in Bava Metzia that his father was one of the Sofrei HaDayanim of Shmuel's Beis Din. So he was one of the scribes, one of the recorders of the Beis Din. What we see from all Gemara over here, he wasn't just a scribe, he also taught Braises. Anyway, so what is it? So is it l'chatchila you're allowed to check it, or is it only b'dieved? Omer Abaya kavasei the Rav Bar Avuna Mestabra. It seems logical, says Abaya, to follow Rav Bar Avuna's version and say that you'd be allowed to check it even l'chatchila if it was born with a mum. Midkatani tlos abavi. Because we have a brisa that we quoted before involving Rav Shimon Menasya that has three different cases. Nolad by mum erev yomtiv ein mevakanos b'yomtiv. We said if the mum developed erev yomtiv, you're not allowed to check it on yomtiv. But ein mevakan implies l'chatchila hu d'loy ha d'yevet shapudami, implying that the d'yevet, if you did, it would be fine. The second case was nolad by mum b'yomtiv. If the mum developed on Yom Tov, Reb Shimon Omer Ein Zeh Minan Muchan, then Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to shecht it because not muchan, implying that for the dieved nami loy. It means that you're not even allowed to check it for dieved because Ein Zeh Minan Muchan implies that even for dieved you're not allowed to use it because it wasn't muchan. Also, Rashi says the very fact that it's divided into two cases implies that one is l'chatchila and one is for dieved. Then the brisa continues with the third case, v'shavin, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree, sheim no little mumma ima, that if it was born with a mum already, shezemen amuchan, that it's muchan, and that would have to be dafil l'chatchila nami. So therefore, the fact that the brisa splits them into three cases, and one is b'dieved, and the other is even b'dieved not, so what would the third be? Obviously, it must be l'chatchila. Therefore, more logical to accept that over Rabbi Nachman's father's brisa. The problem with that is, v'hok osir of Oshia, when Rav Oshia came from Eretz Yisrael, osav aisim, from a different yeshiva, whatever, osav aisim asnisa biyadeh, he came and he brought with him a brisa that he brought with him a brisa that the Chachamim didn't know of before. Bein shenolad b'mum be'erev yamdiv, or bein shenolad b'mum yamdiv, chachamim ma'amim ein zemin amochan. Whether the mum developed erev yamdiv or on yamdiv, either way the chachamim say it's ein zemin amochan. Now that would be according to Reb Shimon, who says ein royin mumun. So unlike the previous brisa that had three different sections, and one was b'dieved only, and the other is not even b'dieved, and the other one was saying by implication must be l'chatchila, here we have a brisa that combines those two together and says that either way, ein zeh min hamochan, and Reb Shimon is not going to allow you to check it on Yom Tov. So the el akasha hach. Okay, so the problem is then in that case you still have the problem that we have a brisa before that says differently. The answer is hahi odaba uchmihi de mishabish vitani. that previous braisa was taught by Ada Bar Uchmi, who was known to mix up braises. The Chacham Rashi says that they knew that he was Gerdes Mishnayas from a Shakeach Meshabjan. He would learn Mishnayas and braises, but then he would forget and mix up things in them. So therefore, so in other words, that's not an accurate, reliable source that you can base yourself on. Whereas Reb Oshia's braisa is.
It's more reliable than
any sort of
New York Times
has,
but he's still
not. Yeah, New York. Amr of Nachman Yitzchok, Nisin Nami Deka. So, says, in fact, you can see from our Mishnah as well, like what Rav Oshi is saying, and not like what Ada Bar Uchma's Braisa is saying. Dikatani, because the Mishnah had said, Rav Shimon Omer, Kol She'en Mumin Nikum Erev Yom Tov, if the Mum is not recognizable as a Mum Kavua before Yom Tov, Ein Zemen HaMochan, then it's not Mochan, and therefore you can't Shecht it and eat it. Now, my ein mumay nicker. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says we have to consider what does the word ein mumay nicker mean? Ilema she ein mumay nicker klal. Do you mean literally that the mum was not visible beforehand, that on Erev Yom Tov it had no mum at all? Pshita. Of tzricha lemeima. Then obviously, according to the Yehuda, you can't shecht it. What's the chiddush? And then certainly according to the Shimon, especially if he says ein roi ein mumay be Yom Tov, then of course you wouldn't be able to. Ela delay schazi lechacham Erev Yom Tov. Evidently, kol she'en mumay nikar, that Rav Shimon is saying, means if it was not shown to the Chacham before Yom Tov, im mum kavua, im mum oiver, whether it was a mum kavua or a mum oiver, katani mias ein zemen amuchan, either way, it's saying that ein zemen amuchan. So, meaning even b'di'evin. So in other words, Rashi explains, when we say tzricha lemeimar, the pshita tzricha lemeimar sounds like a double lashon, but Rashi says, no, pshita means it's obvious. Tzricha lemeimar means, would Rav Shimon have to say that to Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda himself holds of the concept of mukta. So once Rav Shimon says that, fine, Rav Yehuda will say royin mum in Yom Tov, but still, obviously, Rav Yehuda will agree in this case where it didn't even have a mum before Yom Tov, it's going to be mukta, and therefore Rav Shimon doesn't even need to use the words ein zemen amochan. All he has to say is, look, both of us are going to agree that it's mukta because ein roi ein mum in Yom Tov, and you because even though you hold roi ein mum in Yom Tov, but you didn't have your das on it at all before Yom Tov because it didn't even have a mum over, so it wouldn't be necessary. Elo delay schazi lachacham me'erav Yom Tov. So evidently the case is it had a mum before Yom Tov. But it wasn't shown to the Chacham, im mum kavua, im mum over, which one it was, a mum kavua or a mum over, and katoni mias ein zemen amochan. And the bottom line is Rav Shimon says ein zemen amochan, meaning even b'di'evin. So even though it had a mum before Yom Tov, so now is the machlokes. Rav Yehuda is going to say because it had a mum before Yom Tov, already you had your das on it. Since Rav Yehuda holds roi and mum in the Yom Tov, then according to him, there's a good possibility that you're going to be able to eat this animal on Yom Tov. Whereas according to Rav Shimon, not because he says ein roi and mum in the Yom Tov, and therefore he's saying ein zemen amochan, even b'di'evin. So now, going back to when we have, now we did have the case in the Braisa of Nolad Hu Momoy Imoy. Now that we're saying that Braisa with the three cases is mistaken and that Rav Oshia's version of the Braisa is correct, then it comes out you only have two possibilities. You have one where the Mum, we have one where the Mum developed on Erev Yom Tov or Yom Tov, where either way Rav Shimon is going to say it's also to see the Mum at all on Yom Tov, and therefore even b'di'evad the animal is going to be also. Versus Nolad Hu Momoy Imoy, which is going to be not like a tchilo you could check it like a buyer was saying, but rather only b'di'evad like Rav Nachman's father's braisa says. Okay, new topic. Which is going to relate back to what we just said. Boy mine Hillel me Rava. Hillel asked Rava the following question. Now, obviously, this isn't Hillel as in the Chava of Shammai. This is a later Amora named Hillel. We find him in a couple of in one or two other places in Shas. He was a Talmud of Rava. Anyway, so he asks Rava. Although Hagoyis Habach changes it to Boy mine Rav Hillel me Rava. So according to him, he had a title, Rav Hillel, and he was a Talmud, not of Rava, but rather of Rava. Either way, we're talking about the same one. Yeah, anyway. So he asks, Yesh mukta lachatzi Shabbos, or ein mukta lachatzi Shabbos? Can something be mukta for only half of Shabbos? So if you have something that's mukta for half of Shabbos, can it become unmukta the second half or the other way around? Tosfos later on points out that the question is not really as far as tiltul. Certainly as far as tiltul, as far as moving it on Shabbos, there's no question ain mukta lachatzi Shabbos. Rather, the question is going to be as far as eating it, Tosfos says. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey, chidomi. Well, what's the scenario? How do you have something that's mukta for only half of Shabbos? If it was suitable to use Beina Shemoshes, then it's good for the whole rest of Shabbos. And if it wasn't good at Beina Shemoshes, then it's not good the rest of Shabbos. The answer is, what happens if it was suitable, then it became unsuitable, and then it became suitable again. So in other words, Rashi, by the way, mentions the point over here, the reason why it would be also if it was mukta ben ashmoshes, because you don't have hachonim ba'od yoy. Further on, in the sugya, Rashi brings from of Shildas to Rabbi Choy Goin, that you have to have anything that you're going to use on Shabbos has to be mukhan from before Shabbos. And he actually learns it from the Pasuk, v'hichinu es asher yaviu, which means that Rashi, unlike most Rishonim, holds that this concept of hachana before Shabbos is actually daraisa. Most other Rishonim hold it's only dirabon. Anyway. So what do we mean, d'achzi v'idchu? So let's say, for example, Rashi gives an example as follows. An example of mukta would be, let's say you took figs or grapes to dry them, and we know while they're drying, they're mukta. And even Rav Shimon is going to agree with that because you were doicha them be a dying. You actually took them up there to dry out, and until they dry out, they're not ready. While they're in the process of drying, they're not fit to eat. Therefore, even Rav Shimon is going to agree that that's mukta. So now, what happens? Beina shmoshes, they were already suitable. They were already dried out, and therefore they would have been suitable to eat. Then sometime during Shabbos, rain fell on them, and now they became inedible again. Then later on, they swelled up and became inedible. Later on Shabbos, the sun came out and dried them out, and now they're good again. So now the fact that for a period of time during Shabbos, they were unavailable, does that make them mukta for the rest of Shabbos? So Rava tells him, yes, in that case, there is a concept of mukta for Chatzi Shabbos. So Gemara says, Eisvei. So Hillel asked Rava, what do you mean? We had the braisa before that said, Reshoven Shev Nogadu Muma Imay, Shazem and Amochan. If a baby animal was born, a baby Bechor was born with a mum, then it's already considered Muchan, and you're allowed the Shechtan on Yachtav. Now, Va'amai. Now, why should that be? Nema, shouldn't we say, Hai Bechor Me'ikra Havachazi Agav Imay? Before it was born, it would have been suitable to eat together with his mother, because if you had Shechted the mother and found the baby inside the womb, you would have been allowed to eat it. Ben Pekura, and the din of Bechor wouldn't apply because it only has Kedushas Bechor only when it actually comes out of the womb. Then when it was born on Yom Tov, so we are talking about it was born on Yom Tov actually. So when it was born on Yom Tov, now it was Nidcheh, because now until you show it to a Chacham, then it has a Chazakah of being Osir. And then if you show it to the Chacham on Yom Tov, now it becomes Mutter again. And yet we're saying it's Mutter. So that shows that Ein Mukta Lachatzi Shabbos. Omer Abaya v'Tamer of Safra. So Abaya, or some say, of Safra answered, the case is not where there was a period of time where it had a Cheskas Isser, Kegundi Yastvi Dayoni Hosam. What if the Dayonim are sitting right there when the animal is born? So as soon as it comes out of the womb, they right away see the womb, and therefore it never became mukta in the first place. So it could be, the Braisa is talking about that. And Lo Shchiyah, but it could happen, and nevertheless, so the Braisa is telling us that in that case, yeah. So that doesn't show that necessarily Ein Mukta, that doesn't show necessarily that Yesh Mukta, Lachati Shabbos, because in that case, there's no mukta at all.
Did we learn that Chacham and not supposed to sit together to Paschal on Yom Tov on Shabbos?
Well, right. We're not saying they should, especially according to Rav Shimon, Ein Royin Mumin B'Yamtiv. What we're talking about over here, suppose it happened. It so happened that you had a bunch of Chachamim on your farm for Shabbos, and they watched a Behemoth of Akeres giving birth, and they happened to notice right away that this Bechor has a Mum. So they didn't sit there specifically for that purpose, but right away, in other words, it never had a Cheskas Isser because right away they saw that it was born that way. Okay, the Gemara says, Lema Messiah. I skipped a couple of lines. Uh, yeah, Okay, so that's one version of the discussion between Hillel and Rava, that Rava says yesh muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos, and we can't disprove it from that case because it could be talking about where the dayanim are sitting over there. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes the other way around. Amalei ein muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos. The second version is that Rava told Hillel ein muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos. If it were, if you had, as long as it was Rory Bein Ashmoshes, even though later on it became not Rory, the fact when it becomes Rory again, it will be good. So in the case of the fruit that we said before, for example, once it dries out, you will be able to eat it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, in that case, can we say that the case that we said before is a support for Rava? Again, in the first version, we brought it as a question. Now we're bringing it as a support. V'shavin sheim nevet umumma imesh, shizem en amochon. Now consider the bechor meikra habachazi agab ime. Again, when it was still in the womb, it was still edible because it didn't have a dusha of a bechor yet. It's yadav leinchile. Once it was born, then it was nidcha because now it's a bechor. Achsi lachacham ishtirile, and then you show it to a chacham and it becomes mutter. However, Amar Abayi v'temer of Safra. No, that's not a proof to going to yasvi dayani hasam. Again, we could talk about that the dayanim are sitting over there, and therefore it never had, a cheskas iser in the first place. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, "Hoya oichol ba'anovim v'hoisir." If a person was eating grapes and he left over, he had some leftover. The helon lagag lasisman smoking. He brings them up to the roof, intending to make raisins out of them. But to enim, or he was eating figs v'hoisir, and he had some leftover. The helon lagag lasisman groger. So he brings them up to the roof, having in mind to make groigris of them. Lo yoichamahen. So now on Shabbos, so on Yom Tov, Rashi explains, the point is, even though he was eating them already, you would think maybe he doesn't need hazmana, but nevertheless, now that he brought them up to the roof, nevertheless, we still say that lo yoichamahen ad sheyazmin v'od yom, he's not allowed to eat them unless he designates before Shabbos or before Yom Tov that he plans to eat them. The same thing applies to pears over chavushin and quinces, which are a kind of small fruit resembling apples. Over shalko minute.
A quince, doesn't it? Like an orange? No,
a quince is more like an apple. Over shalminate pears and with other, and over shalko minute pears and other kinds of fruit. Tosfos, and this Gemara is also in Shabbos. Rashi explains what the chiddush, what does the Tana need to list us all the different kinds of fruit. The point is, groigris and smukin, particularly, those more than any other, while they're drying, are not really edible. On the other hand, pears and chavushim are a little more edible while they're drying, so you would think maybe you don't need hazmana. Nevertheless, though, we're still saying that the same din applies to them. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey chidomi. So now let's consider what the scenario. If on Shabbos itself they're suitable to eat, if before Shabbos began they were already suitable, lamalei hazmana, then what do you need hazmana? And if at the beginning of Shabbos they're not yet suitable to eat, they're not completely dry, ki azmin lahu mayhavi, then who cares if he's mazmin them? The fact is they're not edible yet. So hazmana, so Rashi says it would be like doing hazmana on wood or stones. That's not something that people are normally going to eat. So what's the scenario? So you're going to say maybe the case is that Bein HaShmoshes, he didn't know yet whether they're suitable or not. It's a tircha for him to go up and see what state they're in yet. So he doesn't know. So he says, in case they're rory, I want to be able to eat them tomorrow. But the fact is, we're saying if he didn't do hazmana, since he didn't know, then we don't say that his das is on them. If that's what it is, but Rav Kahana said, muktzah of this kind, grogris tzimukim, if it dried out, the ena baila makirinosa, and the owner doesn't know that it's dry, he didn't check it before Shabbos began, and now he discovers that it's dry enough now that at the beginning of Shabbos it was dry as well, mutter, such a thing as mutter. So you don't need, because the fact is, that Rashi says, because when you took it up there to begin with, why were you makt it? Because you want it to dry. So as soon as it became dry, then that's it. It becomes mutter right away. Then the hachonim of Oidyoim already took place. You don't need an actual, you don't need an actual hazmana for that, because it was already the fact that you put it out of mind only for a certain purpose. Once that purpose is completed, then it's mutter. This is where Rashi brings from Shiltus to Rabbi Achoy Goin, who says just that. So what is the scenario? So again, what is the scenario where you would be able to eat it on Shabbos, but only if you did hazmana before Shabbos? Again, it can't be where they dried out, where you know they dried out before Shabbos, because of course you don't need hazmana. Can't be where they didn't dry out until after Shabbos began. Hazmana is not going to help. And if you're talking about you don't know one way or the other, then also as long as you find out on Shabbos that they were in fact dry before Shabbos, you don't need hazmana either. So obviously the case must be talking about by elimination where exactly the case we're talking about Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, where at the beginning of Shabbos they were dry, then at some point during Shabbos rain fell on them and they swelled up and now they became inedible again. Then on Shabbos they dried out. Now the amut ein Muktzah L'Malahu Hazmana. If you're going to tell me ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, what do you need Hazmana for? So they're doing that show that yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. The fact that for a while during Shabbos they were unavailable means that now if you wanted to be able to eat them on Shabbos, you need hazmana before Shabbos. So the Gemara says elamai yesh muktzah. So what are you going to say then? Yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos ki azmin lehu mai havi. So how does it help do hazmana? The fact of the matter is you can't do hazmana before it became muktzah. Before hazmana, they were already ready to eat. The right. Isser came only later, so hazmana before Shabbos is not going to help you anyway. Yeah. The answer is loy tzricha de achsu v'loy achsu. The answer is rather we can answer that the case is that before Shabbos, they were ready but not completely. They were mostly dry but not completely. So some people at that point will eat them. Some people still will not. Some people will wait till they're completely dry. Now the hazmana makes the difference. Asmin gali daite. So if he does hazmana, then he demonstrates by that that he wants to that he wants to eat them. Loy asmin loy gali daite. But if not, then not. So there's no proof from this braisa one way or the other about ein muktzah or yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, because the braisa is not talking about that scenario at all. Amar Abzera, so Abzera says, Toshma, we can bring another proof, mipolin v'adoshin, from beans and lentils that we cook on Yom Tov. It's interesting, you know, usually Toshma is we bring from a Mishnah, braisa, once in a while you have Toshma from a positive. Here we have a Toshma from practical day-to-day experience. From what we do on Yom Tov, we cook beans and lentils on Yom Tov. Da poilin va'adoshim me'ikra chazu lochus, but we cook them on Yom Tov. Beforehand, bein hashmashos, before you cook them, you could have chewed them raw. Rashi explains, as he does in a number of places in Shas, that the word kois means to chew something not in the normal way, to eat it raw, rather. So before you would have. Shadinu with data, once you put them in the pot, idchulahu. Now, as long as they're boiling in the pot, you can't eat them. So you would doichan them. Gomer b'shulayu chazilahu. And once they're finished cooking, then they're mutter. You don't say that yesh mukta lachatzi yomtev, and therefore they should be osir. So obviously, ein mukta. So the Gemara says, omalei abaya, v'litai meich. So according to your svara, that you're saying as long as the pot is cooking, it's considered mukta. Tikshilach kederas da'alma. Never mind beans and peas and things like that. Ask about in general when you eat food on Friday night that was cooked. In general, pots of food for Shabbos are usually boiling when Shabbos comes in. And yet we're able to eat them Friday night. See, and now we said before, bein hashmashos is what's keveya, whether something is mukta or not. If something is mut is also bein hashmashos, it remains also for the whole Yom Tov, for the whole Shabbos. And yet we see we're allowed to eat pots of food. So obviously a pot of food boiling is not considered mukta. Ela, so rather, gomri bidei adam loikom boilon. When you have something that's bidei adam, that's in a person's control to do something with it, and to be able to fix it that day, then loikum and boilon, then there's no question. So therefore, there's no proof from the poilon v'adoshim, because it's the yodai, you have the ability to decide to cook them or not, and once the pot is boiling, you could take it off the stove and cool it off, and the same thing would apply then to pots of food that are cooking at the beginning of Shabbos. They anyway have to be cooked enough to be able to eat them, because they have to be cooked k'maichol ben derusoi. One second. Okay, so the point is, again, that when it's bidei adam, then there's no question that it's not considered muktzeh ben hashmashos, because you have it be a dayim to do something with it, to not cook it, or to take it off the stove, or whatever, as the case may be. Kikam and boilon, gomri bidei shemayim, the whole question is, when, for example, you have the greater tzimukim, where it depends on the weather, it depends on the sun, and it's not in your hand, so now the question is whether, in fact, it would be muktzeh. Now, in the end, the Gemara leaves the question open whether yesh muktzeh lachti Shabbos or ain muktzeh lachti Shabbos. There are Rishonim, for example, the Itur, who say we need to be machmer on it. On the other hand, most Rishonim say no, since it's only an Isser muktzeh, which is only the Rabbanon, therefore we can be maker on it. And the halacha, therefore, is ain muktzeh lachti Shabbos, which, among other things, for example, the Rashba describes a case which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if, for example, now, if you have a candle that was lit, that a lamp or whatever that was lit, Bein HaShemashos, of course it remains muktzeh for the whole Shabbos, even if it went out. But what if you have, let's say, a lamp that was lit in the middle of Shabbos? Now, you could have it was done b'shoigig, let's say a person forgotten lit it, or you could have where it was lit b'heter, for example, for a sick person. Once it goes out, you will be allowed to move it because ein muktzeh l'chatzi Shabbos. Because ein muktzeh l'chatzi Shabbos. An interesting one that they talk about in this connection is the question, what about wet laundry? What if you have laundry that was wet before Shabbos? Are you allowed to, or would you be allowed to on Shabbos once it dries out? Would you be allowed to take it and wear it? So some of the poskim discuss that maybe taka, based on what we're saying over here, bidei adam versus bidei shemayim, there might be a difference between whether you have it hanging on a clothesline versus in the dryer. In the dryer would be bidei adam, would be gomer bidei adam, versus when you have it on the clothesline would be bidei shemayim. Not all of the poskim agree with that. Another distinction, but on the other hand, many of them say, for example, the Moshe, I think, talks about this. If you had a reasonable expectation that it was going to be dry on Shabbos, then yes, it would be mutter to take it. Then it would be mutter to take it down on Shabbos after it dries out and wear it. But there are a few different opinions about it. So it's something to ask a Shaila what your local Rav would hold.
Yeah, you get laundry out of a dryer.
Right. Keep in mind also, but when it comes to taking it out of the dryer, sometimes you have dryers that have a light that turns on when you open them. That's a whole different issue.
Some kind of sensor.
That's a whole different issue. That's we're not even talking about that. We're talking about where there's not that,
for sure.
But it was wet at the beginning of Shabbos. So yeah.
Shabbat
everyone.
Yeah.